I love coming together with people in his body. It's just, we're one. We're one body, right? And it doesn't matter what you've been through in the week. When you come into his presence as a collective body, something powerful happens. I know that people, we can experience God when we're out, you know, we've done it before, when we're out camping in the middle of nowhere and we're just a family. And there's been times in my life where I've been in different parts of the world and couldn't get to church on a Sunday, and I've praised the Lord by myself. And that's not bad. But you're missing out on the good. And the good happens when you come together and fellowship with believers. Because he says, if two or more are gathered together, what does he say? He's there. So when you come into a church setting, he's already there just because we're gathered there. That's exciting to me. Amen? Amen. Grab your Bibles this morning if you want to open up to Hebrews 12, verse 28. And we're going to be... Hebrews 12 and verse 28. We're going to be continuing on with the having a grateful heart. And verse 28, honey, can I borrow your Bible just for a quick second? You have it memorized? Oh, okay. Amen. Okay, so verse 28 is right there. Okay. I'm just going to back it up just a little bit here. And I'm looking at, that's what it was. Okay, so there were two different mountains that were being talked about here. And one was the mountain of fear, and one was the mountain of faith. And so the first mountain was the mountain that the children of God came to, and there was fear, right? Because God was so awesome. And they were fearful because sin separated them still. You understand that when they approached that presence of God, it wasn't that God didn't want to be with them. It wasn't that he didn't want to pour himself out to them. But there was a separation at that point because there was still sin, right? And we know sin separates us from God. So they came fear-filled, awe, respecting, but also fear-filled, right? Because of the awesomeness of God. And the second mountain is the mountain that we get to boldly approach his throne of grace. Amen? Because of what Jesus did, we can boldly enter his presence. Because when you ask for forgiveness, you are what? Forgiven. You're not just covered. The blood of the lambs in those days, they covered, but they didn't take away the sin. Jesus came, and he came and took away our sin. Amen. So we can boldly approach his throne of grace. That's the new mountain that we have. That by faith we know that we are cleansed and we can come into his presence. And that's what's being talked about right before you get to this verse. And it says this in verse 28. Therefore, since we have received a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. In the CJB version, it says, therefore, since we have received an unshakable kingdom, let us have grace or thanks, a capacity and an ability due to the grace of God. So our giving thanks is due to the grace of God. Amen? So we're able to have a grateful heart through which we may offer service that will please God with reverence and fear. And then the ESV version, it says, therefore, let us be grateful. Let us be what? Grateful. Why are we grateful? We're grateful because we don't have to worry about mountain number one. There is nothing that separates us from the presence of God. And you think about, last week we talked about how that the children of Israel, the army came to Moses and said, because there was none of us missing, we want to give an offering to the Lord. We're grateful. We went to battle with a nation that was bigger than us, and not one of us died in that. That was amazing, right? And there's such a gratefulness in my heart. When you stop and you think about what could have happened in all the places where the hurricanes have been, I know that the numbers are high, but they are not as high as they could have been. Why? Because the church rose up and took its rightful place. Amen? And we started speaking to the wind and the waves and telling it what to do. And you know, you say, you hear the stories, and sometimes I think we get so used to the glory of God and the goodness of God. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But all this week, I've been thinking about my cousin's family. a tornado is headed to their home. It's not just an imagination thing. People witnessed that tornado going to their home, and it just suddenly changed course? No. I believe there was an angel of God or multiple angels that said, I'm sorry, not here. Find a different path. This one is covered in the blood. This one you can't touch. That produced in me a gratefulness of, wow, God, you are so amazing. You are so faithful to your word. It reminds us, that's what gratefulness does. It reminds us of all the things that could have happened in our lives but didn't because of the grace of God. And we may have gone through rough times, but it could have been a lot worse if it weren't for the grace of God. We don't have to have an unshakable or a shakable foundation. We have an unshakable foundation that we can stand on, and that is this right here. This will not change. And when you give your tithes and offerings, especially your offerings, that should be out of the gratefulness of your heart. God, I'm bringing my 10% because this is what you've asked me to do. But above that, that's a heart filled with gratitude that says, I have been blessed with so much. You have done so much in my life. I'm coming to give back to you. I'm coming so that someone else can have their need met. I'm coming with a grateful heart for all you've done. You may say, well, there aren't very many things that I can think of to be grateful. Well, you're here this morning. You're here. You got here this morning. It means you had to have some kind of transportation. You got clothes on your body. You had food. I don't hear a lot of stomachs rumbling. Maybe not now, maybe later, but but you know what I'm saying? Sometimes we belittle what we do have. A roof over our heads. People that love us, right? You walk in these doors and this group loves people. Amen? You don't have to walk out feeling unloved. You know you're loved. These are all reasons to find to be grateful for. It doesn't mean that everything's going perfect in your life, but you have a choice. Amen? When things happen, you can choose to look at a half-empty cup and complain, or you can choose to look at a half-full cup and be joyful that you still got stuff in your cup. Amen? And that, I mean, I know a lot of, I've talked about this before, but I have a lot of friends that are like, oh, you're just a happy guru. You're just always finding something good, you know, something to be thankful for, or grateful for. Yes, yes, because my life could have turned out totally different than it did. So I know the goodness of God, and yes, I am going to look for it in every situation. And it changes your outlook, it changes your life, and it changes the people around you. Amen? Amen. So when we bring our tithes and offerings, especially our offerings, we come with what? Grateful hearts. Amen. As we talked about last week, we are still continuing to take donations for Hurricane Helene and now Milton. EMIC is doing both. They're expanding what they're going to do now. So you have this week, and I believe we're going to do one more week. We have people that have finances that are coming in. So we will be sending our offering next week. They have already been to Georgia, but they are just now starting on North Carolina, and then they'll end up in Florida. So our money is still going to go where it's supposed to. Amen? Grab your tithes and offering this morning. Father, we just thank you so much. Lord, we are just so grateful, Father, for what you've done in our lives, for all the things, Lord, for all the miracles, for all the signs, for the wonders, for the healings, for the supernatural breakthroughs that it could be no one else but you. Father, we just choose today to be grateful for all of that. To come before you with hearts filled with praise for all you've done, Father. And I pray as we move forward, Father, and as we give our offering, Father, that it would be an offering of praise to you today, Father, that you would see our grateful hearts, Lord. And we just appreciate you, Father. We appreciate all you've done in our lives. And we give you the glory, Lord. We know it wasn't chance. We know it wasn't circumstance. We know it wasn't a mistake. No, it was you, Father, that brought the blessing. blessing. And Lord, I pray as we move forward, Father, that you would continue to help us to see things through grateful eyes and not just a grateful heart. That, God, that when that moment comes where we can complain or praise, that we would choose praise. And Father, I just thank you, Lord, for all that you've been doing in our church, for all you're doing now, and for the things that we've yet to see. I praise you in advance for those, God. And truly, that is the greatest act of faith that we can have, is praising you for an answer that hasn't even gotten here yet. But God, it changes our hearts when we praise. And Father, I pray today for just an anointing upon each person in this room, Lord, an anointing of praise and worship, gratefulness and thanksgiving to you. And God, I pray that there would be times this week that things would happen and that literally the Holy Spirit would stop us and say, here's a reason to be grateful. And that we would be open, Father, to noticing those things and to giving you glory for them. We just pray, Lord, for every seed that's sown today, Father, you would bless the seed and the sower, Father, 100-fold harvest. We call in the finances from the north, the south, the east, and the west to come into your house, Father, to be able to do the work you've called us to do and to be able to give to every good work. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's stretch our hands out toward the giving baskets. Let's make a statement of faith over our tithes and offerings. Just say, I believe, I receive the blessing of God on my tithes and offerings. Harvesting angels, I send you out to the north, south, east, and west. I call in my harvest. I receive raises, bonuses, inheritances, increase, ideas, concepts and insights from God, the blessing of God manifesting in every area of my life. And most of all, Father, use my giving to get the gospel preached around the world that someone else could be saved, delivered, and healed in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Praise, praise, praise the Lord. Somebody shout amen. Hallelujah. Glory to his name forevermore. Well, thank you, Pastor Shelley, for that powerful message. Amen. I just love, you know, there's a lot of places you can go where they won't talk about money and finances. I don't want to offend anybody. But we just feel it's a real big part of the worship time. Amen. And there is breakthrough in it. Hallelujah. And I don't know about you, but I'm looking for breakthrough. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we can go ahead and dismiss the kid. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is so good. We're all children of God, right? Amen. Amen. Well, let's pray over this message this morning, and we'll get right into it. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today. Hallelujah. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen. Well, I wanted to share with you, you know, sometimes this time of the year, I start seeking the Lord about kind of the theme of our ministry going into the next year, right? And I know Brother Copeland always gets a prophetic word, and you know we've heard things over the years from Brother Savelle, who's now in heaven, right? But I really believe God spoke to me. I mean, I just asked him, and it was like it was right there, right? And I really believe that 2025, our theme will be newness of life. Somebody say newness of life, right? And all these scriptures started coming to my mind about the new man, behold, I do a new thing, new wineskin, all these kind of verses, right? So newness of life. And then I continued to seek the Lord about it. And this morning, I shared this even on the Eagle Mountain, you know, chat line. I was like, I'm just going to share that. These people will believe this, right? But this word came to me this morning. It was, for any who have lived these past 5 years asking, where are you, Lord? Is that just me? Right? Where are you, Lord, over these past 5 years? So for any who have lived these past 5 years asking, where are you, Lord? I believe 2025 will be the year, and beyond that even, right? Of course. Where he says to us, which is those who have stood in faith despite adversity, he's going to say, here I am. Glory to God. Right? And it's going to be, we're going to be even more thankful in the days ahead that we're on his team. Because when we start seeing stuff, he's going to start, you know, judgments and all these kind of things coming on people and, you know, things that are happening in the world. We're just going to be all that much more thankful. Boy, I'm glad I'm on God's side. Right? Amen. So get ready, stay in faith. Man, we are at the door. These biblical holidays, not Jewish holidays, biblical holidays, right? Like we talked about Rosh Hashanah a couple weeks ago, Feast of Trumpets. The fall feasts are things that, you know, we got to see Jesus in all of it, right? How many know this whole book is Jesus? He fulfills the entire book. The spring feasts, there's, you know, basically seven things, which is a number of completion in the Bible, right? Hallelujah. Why will it be a seven-year period of tribulation? Seven. Somebody say seven. Because completion, right? But the spring feast, Jesus has fulfilled. He's the Passover lamb. He's the first fruits from the dead. He sent the Holy Ghost on Pentecost. All that stuff has been fulfilled. We've been in this church age now for 2,000 years. And on the Jewish calendar, it's Rosh Hashanah is also, we just had that holiday about a week ago, right? Week and a half ago. Feast of Trumpets, which reminds us, what's the word trumpet make you think of, born-again Christian? Rapture. So that's something that has not, obviously. We're still here. Amen. Millions of other Christians are still here. That has not happened yet. And then the Day of Atonement, which was yesterday, Friday night to Saturday. It's a sundown to sundown thing, right? And that reminds us that he's coming back. We're all coming back with him. Hallelujah. You know that verse, was it Ezekiel or Elijah, one of the prophets? Luke helped me remember who the prophet was. But remember when when God takes him in a vision to a valley full of bones, right? And he asks him, can these bones live? Dry, crusty old bones. And the prophet's answer is, he doesn't want to say yes necessarily, doesn't want to say no. So he says, you know. Right? But there's been something in me the past few years. Every time I drive by a cemetery, to start talking to it, to saying things like, resurrection's coming, rapture's coming, rapture reminder, be ready, redeemed, be ready, righteous remains. Because when that trumpet blasts, every little molecule of any believer is going to come shooting out of there. Every time you see a cross on a grave, it should remind you of a rocket. Because, man, and you know what that is, church? That is the family of God, but it's also this thing called a mighty army. Because on the Day of Atonement, right? The symbolism of the Day of Atonement is the day Jesus returns with his family, with his army, to deliver Israel on the day when the Antichrist and the nations of the earth were in heaven, you know, during the rapture. These are biblical things. But what I'm trying to get at is days like yesterday, Day of Atonement, the Yom Kippur, all these kind of things, that's what it's called on your calendar, if your calendar has it on there. There was a powerful time of prayer at Washington, D.C. yesterday with thousands and thousands and thousands of Christians standing up for children and families in Israel. Every one of these holidays, see those door props over there? Every year, every calendar year, it's like the world passes through another corridor. And yesterday was another corridor, another door. And yeah, we're going through it, but it's also him getting closer and closer to returning. He's coming through another door, and he's coming through another door, and he's coming through another door, right? And then the final holiday is Sukkot, which is the where they put tents, you know, and it's the whole Feast of Tabernacles. That's what that is. And that's at the end, the final judgment, right, after the thousand-year reign of Christ, when the devil is loosed again for a short time. Why do you think we have to rule and reign with Jesus if he's here on the planet and we're all here? Because there's still going to be something to rule and reign over, apparently. Even while the devil is incarcerated. How many know there's this thing called free will that has nothing to do with the devil? I can't blame the devil anymore for my sin, right? He did create the temptation and put the pressure and all that kind of stuff, but ultimately there's this thing called I chose it. Amen. So all of these feasts are reminders to us to be ready, to be looking up, to not be lazy. Somebody say, I'm not a lazy Christian. I've heard that multiple times, at least twice this week, from two different ministers saying, don't be a lazy Christian. And this message entitled, How to Be Strong in the End Times, is all about not being lazy in the end times. Hallelujah. Amen. We got to stay sharp. We got to stay in faith in times of adversity, whether it's spiritual adversity, whether it's emotional adversity, whether it's physical adversity, whether it's relationship adversity, right? How many of the devil is called the adversary because he is the father of all adversity? Amen? He comes against the word of God to try to disprove it and discount it. He'll use scriptures. We see this in the word where he actually knows Bible scriptures and tries to twist them. Amen. So we got to know what the word says and know Jesus and stay. Somebody say, simply stay with him. This is not a complicated thing. It's a very serious thing, right? It's a very somber and serious thing, these times that we're in. But all we need to do, it's the Mary and Martha story, right? We can't be too busy with all the putting out little fires everywhere. We got to do priority one, is be at the master's feet. That's why there's an empty seat next to a lot of you, because there's a lot of people out there that simply they'll say, I don't have time. I don't have time to be in church. I was doing a pest control job. We have a pest control industry that we serve with, and there was an apartment I was in full of cockroaches, full of cockroaches, full of them. And I'm in pest control. What do they expect me to do? Randy knows, right? They expect us to get every last one out, right? And yet, they have a responsibility in the process that a lot of times they reject. I'm like, do you have a vacuum cleaner? Well, we clean all the... This is not clean, sir. Cockroaches means filthy, dirty. Filthy. I'm here to help you, but you have a part to play. Do you have a vacuum cleaner? Now listen to me, sir. Not one time, not two times, at least four, five, six times a day, you need to go through these cabinets, pull the refrigerator out if you want to get rid of this problem. I will help you by what I'm going to do and apply and all, but you are the one that lives here with them. Right? And you know what his answer was? I don't have time. It's 1 p.m. and you're here in your apartment on a weekday. My guess is you have some time. And it's not even a lot of time. It's just taking time every day to get after it, right? So we don't have the excuse of saying, well, I don't have time to be in the Word. I don't have time to go to church. I don't have time to pray. You know what I'm saying? These are lousy, weak, lazy excuses. And I've heard it twice from different ministers this week. Don't be a lazy Christian. I can think of more than one verse that talks about you wicked and lazy servant. Right? Somebody say, he's not talking about me. You can tell the person next to you, he's not talking about me. He's not talking about you. Right? Because there's a rapture coming, man. Oh, rapture, whatever. Whatever. On the Jewish calendar, I did a message a few years back. It's on our YouTube channel called God's Calendar. It just lays it all out there. And there was one place of research that it looked like they were saying, based on from the beginning of time until now, it's been about 6,000 years, right? Which to the Lord, a day is as 1,000 years, right? So again, we're talking about seven. Getting close to the seventh day. The seventh day is the Sabbath rest, which represents the millennial reign of Christ, right? And there was one place I was studying and researching. It looked like it was, man, within a few years. It was like 5,997 whatever. It's like, wow, really? Since Adam. Somebody say, that doesn't seem like that long ago. We hear words like millions of years ago, kabillions of years ago, you know, and they find, there is evidence of a pre-Adamic civilization where Satan was trying to set up his rule on this planet. And Rick Renner's got great stuff on that. But Adam to now, on the Jewish calendar now, because how many know we should be listening to what the Jews are saying? The Jewish calendar, it's this, every Rosh Hashanah, it's a new year. Rosh Hashanah, Feast of Trumpets, it's the time they actually believe in that the world was created. I mean, these are powerful things to remember that Christians need to know. But on the calendar that they're saying, it's about 5,780 something. So we could have a couple hundred years. I don't know, but we certainly know the Bible says we know the signs. So whether we go by the grave, like Jesse said, whether I go to him or he's coming for me, one thing we know for sure, that day is coming. But we must all live every day like the rapture is happening this afternoon and plan like it's not happening in our lifetime. Right? Just stay in faith. I mean, we don't go up on the roof in a lawn chair with a cooler and binoculars and just wait. And we stay about, be about the Lord's business in these times. Amen? So being strong in spirit is key. And this is the message we've been sharing from Pastor George and Terry Pearson's Eagle Mountain International Church. This is day 10 in their broadcast, entitled How to Be Strong in the End Times. The foundation text has been Proverbs 18:14 and Ephesians 6:10. Proverbs 18:14 says, "The strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain or trouble, but a weak or broken spirit, who can raise up or bear?" And Ephesians 6:10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Somebody say, "I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." I mean, these are great things to be speaking out of our mouth every day. And even more so when you don't feel it. Well, I don't feel like saying that right now. That's when you need to say it the most, right? Hallelujah. Those strong in the Lord can receive from God and resist the world. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5 talks about perilous times, difficult and hard to bear. How many know we are in those times? Right? Difficult and hard to bear in the natural. Amplified Classic verse 1 says this, "But understand this, that in the last days," somebody say, "You are here," right? "In the last days will come or set in perilous times of great stress and trouble, hard to deal with, hard to bear. Hallelujah. So there's going to be things that we encounter in our life, even faith people. Faith doesn't mean there's no battles. It just means we know we got the victory in Christ, right? But he talked about people who are pressing into sin and proud they are not walking in line with the word of God. These people are not going to be strong. We're talking about the world, of course, there. But also as believers, we're supposed to be pressing into God, not pressing into sin. And then using Jesus as an excuse to press in to things the Bible clearly says are not right. Amen. Walking in line with the word of God every day. A believer with a strong spirit resists the pull of the world and pushes back with the word and power of God. A believer who is strong in spirit resists the pull of the world and pushes back with the word and power of God. You know, you could think of this almost in terms of a woman giving birth. Now, obviously, I've never done that, but I've been near it 4 times. And they say when the contractions come, you can correct me if I'm wrong, ladies, but when the pressure comes, it is time to push. Right? So you push against the devil. And what you're doing is you're literally birthing in some powerful thing that God's going to bring into your life, but we've got to push against the pressure that the world is putting on. We don't just, oh, I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to offend anybody. Just let him pressure me. Let him pressure. No, no, no. We push against the pressure that the devil's putting on. That word lust, the word lust actually means pressure. Pressure to conform. Right? Pressure to just give in to whatever philosophy that they tell you to give into. No, we push against that stuff. Hallelujah. We refuse to be sucked into the world's ways of thinking and doing. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 5, and I was looking at this the other day. I was having a little bit of a restless night, and I opened this. I think I might use this version this next year for my Bible reading, the God's Word version. But I want to read to you a portion of Galatians chapter 5 in the God's Word version here. Verses 13 through 20 or so. It says this, verses 13 through 24. You are indeed called to be free, brothers and sisters. Don't turn this freedom into an excuse for your corrupt nature. Somebody say, my corrupt nature? I'm a Christian. What are you talking? Who are you talking to? How many know you are a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body, right? We all do. Well, this side of heaven, right? You are indeed called to be free, brothers and sisters. Don't turn this freedom into an excuse. How many know God's not looking for excuses, right? For your corrupt nature to express itself. Rather, serve each other through love. Skipping down to verse 16 now. Let me explain further. Live your life as your spiritual nature. Somebody say, my spiritual nature. Live your life as your spiritual nature directs you. Then you will never follow through on what your corrupt nature wants. So just because you want some things that the Bible clearly says are not okay, doesn't mean just go ahead and do it then. No, we need to push against it. Well, I want to gossip. I want to hate. I want to say something. I want to cuss. I want to do something moral or immoral or whatever. No, we push against that stuff. Because what is that? That's the corrupt nature. Read on, right? Then you will never follow through on what your corrupt nature wants. What your corrupt nature wants is contrary to what your spiritual nature wants. And what your spiritual nature wants is contrary to what your corrupt nature wants. I wonder how many Christians have quit on God because of misunderstanding. They just assume, well, because I seem to want that, I must not be saved. So I'm just going to quit and go be that. Or they'll include God in that. Well, God just made me this way. He gave me this desire. He put this thing in me. No, somebody say, you push against it. Hallelujah, right? You do it in the spirit. We're talking about spiritual strength here. What your spiritual nature wants is contrary. Somebody say contrary to what your corrupt nature wants. So you get used to talking to your corrupt nature. When you hear it griping and hollering and bickering. On the contrary, contrary nature. No, we're going this way. See, my body, if the rapture is postponed, will get pulled into the ground. Into ashes to ashes, dust to dust. But my spirit, man, is going up. So I got to be used to telling my body, hey, body, guess what? Hey, soul, mind, will, and emotions, guess what? I'm taking you up. You are not taking me down. I am taking you up. So get used to it and march. Hallelujah. On the contrary, contrary nature, we're not doing that. So hush up and march. Hallelujah, right? As a result, you don't always do what you intend to do. If your spiritual nature is your guide, you are not subject to Moses' laws. What were Moses' laws? The do's and don'ts, the Ten Commandments. Jesus said one law transcends all the Ten Commandments, right? Remember? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. So we're loving God. So really, God would say, the Holy Spirit would say, oh, so you're going to choose that? Well, then that means then you love that more than you love me. And for me, church, that's really hard to deal with. It's less about, oh, that's a commandment. That's a commandment. Don't do it. No, no. What really motivates me to not do it is if I do that, it means I love that more than I love Jesus. And that just rends my heart. And draws me out of it. Amen, right? Now, the effects of the corrupt nature are obvious. Verse 19, illicit sex, perversion, promiscuity, idolatry, drug use, hatred, rivalry, jealousy, angry outbursts, selfish ambition, conflict, factions, envy, drunkenness, wild partying, and things like that. There was a wild party going on in my neighborhood last night, and we heard it for hours and hours and hours and hours. Wild partying, man. Right? That's the corrupt nature at work. Right? So we pray for people and try to be like Jesus, right? Now, it's all right if people hear church outside, though, celebrating Jesus and shouting and praising and, you know, all of that, right? So God isn't about not having fun. He just doesn't want you to be driving under the influence and hurting people and, you know, being sick and all this kind of stuff that sin does, right? I've told you in the past, and I'm telling you again, that people who do things like that will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the spiritual nature, verse 22, but the spiritual nature produces. Somebody say, the spiritual nature produces. Glory to God. The spiritual nature produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There are no laws against things like that. Those who belong to Christ Jesus, here it is, have crucified their corrupt nature along with its passions and desires. If we live by our spiritual nature, then our lives need to conform to our spiritual nature. We can't allow ourselves to act arrogantly and provoke or envy one another. Amen? So somebody say, I'm going with the Spirit. And not if, church, we're talking to church people now, right? Christians, myself included. Not if, but when you find yourself choosing the corrupt nature. And the Holy Spirit speaks to you and says, you know what? That's wrong. Going the wrong way. Wrong way. Wrong way. What's it time to do then? It's time to repent, isn't it? Not time to quit. Not time. I love my Seattle Seahawks. But man, they've had a rough go the past few weeks. And I can tell, and I was listening to Tiki Barber, one of the broadcasts. He used to play for the Giants. And he was like, look at them. He's like, everybody makes mistakes. But they are literally festering. I can't remember exactly what word he was using. But he was like, they need to get over it. They just keep dwelling on it and dwelling on it and dwelling on it and down on themselves. And it spreads throughout the whole team. Somebody say, have a quick memory, a short memory. When I blow it, I repent and I forget about it. And by the power of the Spirit, man, that's the power of the blood, man. It separates me from that sin. And I get up and I get on with my life. I get back to Jesus, back to the Word of God. Don't dwell on it and meditate on it and browbeat and talk about what a maggot I am. That's the devil talking. He's the maggot. Did you know there's a verse in the Bible that shows you, I think it's Isaiah chapter 14, or no, 33. I think it's Isaiah 33, that reminds the devil how his story ends. It is so great. It's kind of like another little pest control thing. He will be at the very bottom of the pit of hell. Underneath him will be maggots. On top of him will be worms. Decaying flesh for eternity, man. Have you ever smelt something dead? Like a dead rat or a possum or, oh, unforgettable. That's his, not, and he wants to make you think that's what you are. But you just remind him, oh no, devil, that's who you are. I'm going up. Hallelujah. Well, Pastor George and Terry were emphasizing in this Week 10 broadcast, spiritual exercises to help us develop a strong spirit. Amen? Lindsay and me played tennis yesterday. I haven't played tennis in a long time. We played like eight games. And one of us won a couple more than the other. But I was just surprised I could keep up. I kept up. And I moved around good and made some good shots. But it just felt good to exercise. Right? And spiritually, we also need to be exercising to stay strong in the spirit. And Pastor George and Pastor Terry laid out some things we can all be doing to stay spiritually strong. Read your Bible every day. Somebody say, read your Bible every day, right? Hallelujah. I mean, we laugh about it, but there's a lot of Christians don't even bring their Bible to church. If they go to church, they don't bring their Bible, a lot of them. Right? But read your Bible every day. Proverbs 4, verses 20, 22. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. How many know these devices have words and sayings? Ping, ding, buzz, social media. And praise God, there's people using social media to share the love of God. But there's a lot of it. Television, all these things that is just straight filth. And all those things we just read in Galatians 5 are on there. By the second, another and another and another and another and another and another and another. And we got to shut it off. Cut it off, shut it off, turn it off, and open the Word of God. And find the Word of God is also on these too, of course, right? But we need to be people that are in the habit of choosing to feed the spirit man and not the corrupt man. Right? The corrupt man wants M&Ms all day. M&Ms, more M&Ms, more M&Ms, more M&Ms. And a nap. And the remote control. and no responsibilities, no chores, no work. And we say, shut up, corrupt man. Get down. We'll have a little leisure later, but that's not right now. Right now, we're on the Word. We'll maybe catch a movie or a game or something like that, but I'm not putting you first, fleshy man. I'll feed you. I'll take care of you, but you're coming with me. See, this is how it works, fleshy man. I'm not following you. You are following me. I heard somebody say, if you give the devil a ride, if you pick him up on the side of the road, he's going to want to sit in the front seat. And if he wants to sit in the front seat, he's going to want to drive. And we just got to remind our fleshy person, listen, you're not driving. The spirit man is driving. Hallelujah, right? And it comes with reading our Bible every day, multiple times a day. Pick it up and read it and study it and listen to God. Have some time. Give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. They are life to those who find them and health to all their, guess what? Flesh. You see, fleshy man, this is good for you too, fleshy man. Hallelujah, right? Amen. The next thing they say, Pastor George, Pastor Jerry said, speaking the word to yourself, to others, and over your circumstances. They say, speak the word on purpose, full of faith. Sow the word down in your heart by confessing the word. And then Pastor George has, I think he's got a CD that he was talking about called Power Confessions. I'm going to read you a couple examples here. I may have these for you in days to come. In their notes, they're actually on the Believer's Voice of Victory notes page, but I'll print them out. But this one is called Declaring Who You Are in Christ Jesus. He's got multiple here. Confession from Psalm 18, 29 through 50. Declaring what you have in Christ Jesus, declaring who you are in Christ Jesus, declaring what you can do in Christ Jesus. I mean, these are great things to be speaking over our lives. So in the one that he titled, it's out of Psalm 18, verses 29 through 50. David, and he uses the scripture, 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, in the Amplified. David encouraged and strengthened himself in the Lord his God. But he said, he puts it in terms of how you can declare it over yourself. For by thee I have run through a troop. For by thee have I, this is a little bit like the, I'm not sure exactly what translation this is, but for by thee have I run through a troop. By my God have I leaped over a wall. God is my strength and power. He makes my way perfect. Isn't that phrase right there? Doesn't that take a lot of pressure off of you? Because that's something else that we hear a lot on these phones is how to make yourself perfect. Self-help. Fix yourself. False religion is all about that. Here, we'll help you fix yourself. And then you just get down on yourself. Because I can't fix myself. I need help fixing myself, right? So it says, he makes my way perfect. See, it's about your faith in Jesus, not your faith in you or your faith in your faith, right? He makes my feet like hinds' feet. He sets me upon my high places. He teaches my hands to war. A bow of steel is broken by my arms. You have given me the shield of salvation. Your gentleness has made me great. You have enlarged my steps under me. My feet do not slip. I have pursued my enemies and destroyed them. I turned not again until I had consumed them. You have girded me with the strength for battle. Those who rose up against me, you have subdued under me. The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock. Exalted is the God and the rock of my salvation. You have lifted me high above my enemy. You have delivered me from the violent man. I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing praises unto thy name. He is the tower of salvation. He shows mercy to me and to my children forevermore. Oh, the word of God is so wonderful, isn't it? And we're speaking it over ourselves and over our circumstances, over our families. It is so powerful. It reminds us that we really do rely on Jesus. Even in terms of what we're saying and what we're doing and these actions, we have to watch that it doesn't become about the actions, right? Like I'm earning something. No. It's coming back to the one I rely on and lean on and count on, right? I'm coming back to Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus forevermore. The next thing they say is read faith-filled books that will lift you up and build your faith. Boy, develop a library. I think it was Terry Savelle Foy that said something like, lazy people have huge TVs. Successful people have huge libraries. Right? Amen. So leaders are readers. And you don't want to just read everything, you know what I'm saying? But study. Be studiers. I don't need 17 televisions in my house. I just need some faith books, maybe a TV or two, right? But let's get into the Word of God and actually study it. There's books that I have on my bookshelf from Jerry Savile and Kenneth Hagin and Kenneth Copeland and Jesse Duplantis. We have Creflo Dollar. There's all kinds of things that people, Gloria Copeland, right? And many others that are just good to draw from and then draw from them again, right? Even if you just read, and Rick Renner, my goodness, what an author Rick Renner is. Hallelujah. And so we give ourselves to it. Amen. It's good, especially right before you go to bed. It's a good idea to pull something out and read it again so you go to bed meditating on the word. And you'll have supernatural visions, dreams, things that the Spirit of God will stir up on the inside of you. Like if you watch a scary movie or something fearful or terrible on the news before you go to bed, you're probably going to have nightmares or have that fear thing on you all night. So if you read something with faith in it, man, you'll have experiences with God while you sleep. I've heard ministers say, have a notepad by your bed because you might wake up with a dream and that dream will start to, and it's write it down, write it, what was God showing you in that dream? Hallelujah. I mean, we have a living relationship with Jesus, right? The next thing he says is praise and worship the Lord. Somebody to say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And in times of just intense adversity, instead of cussing or saying some terrible, foul, unbelieving thing, just say, praise Jesus. My God has got this right now. Pray, you know, just begin to praise him. Hallelujah, right? Some people go on a cussing streak, you know, when they get upset about, no, we should be praising when something seems to be going wrong. Hallelujah. They say this, we praise him for all that he has done. Remember the places where he's delivered you before. And we praise him for all he is doing, right? For the answers in the face of hard times. And worshiping him, Pastor Terry brought up, is yielding yourself to him. It's more than singing a song, right? It's we're yielding our life to him, yielding our life to his word, right? Praise pushes back and stops the enemy. I mean, we're dealing with supernatural weapons here, right? Because we have a supernatural enemy. Hallelujah. And then they say that the next thing here, keep standing. Stand strong in the armor of God. Read Ephesians 6. Goes through all the weapon or the pieces of the armor of God. Pastor Rick Renner has an amazing book called, I think it's called Armed and Dangerous, I believe. And he goes through each one of those components of the armor of God. Just an amazing teaching. The helmet of salvation, right? The shield of faith, the belt of truth, the feet with the gospel of peace, breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit. And then Pastor Rick calls it the lance, like the Luke throws a javelin. It's like the javelin of intercession. Hallelujah, right? Pray in tongues. It's another thing, right? Pray in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:4. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Edify means to charge up, to build up like a battery. It's like we're literally recharging ourselves in the power of God as we pray in other tongues. Be baptized in the Holy Ghost and be praying in the Spirit often throughout the day. Sometimes, praying in English is kind of like a runway, the airport right there across the street. But when they get to the end of the runway, they lift off, don't they? And sometimes you run out of words in your language to use. So you start praying in the Spirit. And when you do that, you're praying mysteries, you're praying answers, a perfect prayer, worshiping God, edifying yourself. It's just, there's so many important reasons why to be doing that, right? You can pray in tongues in the grocery store, on the bus, at school, at work. Just, you don't have to be praying at full volume, but amen. And then finally, giving is a spiritual exercise. Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom, for with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. And he told a story about Oral Roberts. Must have been toward the end of his life. And he was in a hospital bed, tubes in his nose, and Evelyn was standing right there. And he's just, fighting for his... I mean, the man laid hands on thousands and millions of people, right? So many people would say, well, what's Oral Roberts doing in the hospital? Well, come on. We have human bodies, right, that are aging. So God gives us people to help us. And don't get so focused on all of that, right? Whatever God's going to use, he'll use. But here's Oral Roberts' response to his wife. He's laying in the hospital bed. He says, Evelyn, I want you to write the biggest check we have ever written and sow a seed. Boom! Right? I mean, that is warfare language. Hallelujah! Isn't God good? Amen. Why don't we all stand up on our feet and just thank the Lord for his word, and we'll close it up today. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you so much for coming to church. Praise, 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 praise the Lord. Hallowed be thy name, Jesus. Everybody, let's pray the Lord's Prayer. Everybody say, my Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give me this day my daily bread. Forgive me my debts as I forgive my debtors. And lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you that your plan is being fulfilled in our lives, that our spirits are staying strong, not just for ourselves, but so we have strength to help somebody else, point them to you, connect them to you, lead them to you. We'll give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, somebody say amen.